Last week, Father Brian was telling us how we were entering a crazy season. It kind of spills out from last week, he said. And so I'm going to embrace that. And of course, this week we have Halloween. We have All Saints. Then what we do is, of course, we rush at Thanksgiving and then at Christmas. And I'm just going to remind you of the fundamental teaching of today's gospel. You all know it, but Jesus said this: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. A second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And everybody says, yeah, I knew that. You know? But really, do we? You know, I want you to think a little bit. If God is first in all things, if everything, our mind, our soul, our very being, places Him first in all things, how do we approach Halloween? You know, Halloween did not start like it is today. I actually come from an area in upstate Ohio where we didn't say trick or treat. We had a little memory verse that we'd have to say, and it was this: tonight is beggar's night. Don't be stingy and give us a bite. You know? And it was very interesting, because I want you to think about it. Is that night really was not always trick or treat. It was a night, because we are all saints of God, that we wanted to do a holy thing leading up to that special day. And that was the night in which they invited those that are hungry and needy to come to their homes and receive a blessing. That's where it started. And now look what has happened to it. You know? Now, we're talking a little bit about, it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it said, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people." Really? Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. So the question is, can we as Christians participate in Halloween? And I think the answer is absolutely. Well, however, we can tweak it a little bit. In fact, we can tweak it a lot. You know, there is a possibility of having it become something. Pumpkins don't have to have a ghoulish look. They actually can smile. You know, there are so many subtle ways in which it can be transformed. Costumes can represent something good. In fact, at our church in Colingo, many, many, many years ago, what we used to do is we would have on Halloween night some kind of an event, you know, in which we guaranteed the kids would get more candy there than they would ever get by going door to door, right? So that was the bribery, you know. And they had to come with a costume representing something good out of the scripture. And it was amazing the wonderful things they came up with. And it was a really holy moment. Everybody says, wow. You know, it can be something really special. We can do it. We can, you know, not stand as angry people always judging everybody. We can stand side by side, but let them know there was just a little bit of a change. It can be a blessing, not a curse. Do we dare as Christians to start turning it in the other direction? I know we can. I know we have to. In fact, it uses this term must. Now, I really like that. You know, it talks about command. I command you. You know, God doesn't really offer a lot of suggestions. He doesn't even offer all those things of, you know, I'd really like to make a recommendation to you. It usually comes in the form of a commandment in love. Because God knows what it is that we can do to be a blessing in our environments. You know, the place we find ourselves, standing side by side by our neighbors, you know, what can we do that when they come to our home, they think to ourselves, oh, this is nice. You know, not, oh my gosh, I think I've got to take a heart pill. You know, they have so many things like this that are trying to scare people out of the peace that we're meant to have. Out of the joy of our lives. And so I encourage you, Christians, not only to do this yourselves, even if it means putting away some of the stuff you already put out, I encourage you to take another look at it. Because you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. First, so you can participate. I think we must participate as Christian because it's an opportunity for witness. And we always should be witnessing that God can transform those things of this world and make them beautiful, make them holy, make them transforming, make them encouraging, and so, not something that completely destroys. Dentists love it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, every year candy companies must have a wonderful party. You know, it's just this explosion of outpouring and, you know, and we all participate in it and it's fine. I mean, I have a problem with that. The problem is for parents. What do you do with it after you get it? You know, how are you going to allow them to receive a little blessing of it without destroying your life because they're all hyped up on sugar? So that's the first of them. We're embracing this. We're coming there now, and it's right around the corner. But we can, as Christians, be a witness. I'm not even going into Christmas yet, because you know where I'm going with that one, right? My question has always been, if someone comes into your home at Christmas, will they know that you're a Christian? Only question we have to ask ourselves, if someone comes into our home on Halloween or Christmas, is there going to be any evidence? If it was illegal to be a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict us on those days? Because I think it's time, don't you, to turn the pendulum back in the other direction. Things are totally out of control. But the control happened in a heartbeat. You know, if that thing goes, if the moment comes when it can come back and it's meant to come back, this could be that time. This could be a time for God's people to stand out and to be different, to be willing to stand with their neighbors, to participate, but just give people a little different message. In fact, I think that little message will be a lot, because people will be startled by it. They'll think, wow. You know, as they walk away, they're going to think, that was nice. They won't know exactly why, but it'll start a ripple, you know, in the water, and it'll flow, and it'll run right on. So I'm just encouraging everybody now, as we move ahead now in this series of celebrations, which are wonderful, and we all love them, to just kind of take a look at not only what we do on those feast days, but what we do with our lives coming up to those feast days. Jesus has a, you know, it's almost unnerving. He keeps saying, peace be with you. Be not anxious. He keeps doing it over and over because I think they, like us, were very anxious people. They're always worried about things. And, you know, and I can tell you, if you're anxious enough, you won't receive a blessing. So be at peace, children of God. Walk in His ways. Enjoy the blessing of these special times in our annual calendar, that we can have a special moment, that we can be a special witness, a transforming witness even, maybe even for our own children. Who knows? Let's pray. Lord our God, we just thank You and praise You that You have told us that we should see everything through the lens of our love for You. You are always first and preeminent in all things. I pray, O Lord God, that You would give us Your holy guidance as we approach the blessing of upcoming holidays, that You, O Lord, would be glorified in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, and teach us, transform us, and cause us to be a renewing person or persons, transforming our immediate environment, and so that others might also find that they hear about something wonderful happening. So pour Your grace upon us, Lord God. Make us into Your people that we might glorify Your holy name. In Jesus we do pray. Amen.